Gross, I've been asked to mention, first of all, that this is Le'ilu Nishmas Margot Bas Dovber. And Baruch Hashem, we have the zchus to hear from Reb Leuchter, who I'm sure all of you do know, but for those of you who don't, is Big Baal Musar. And we have there's a lot to say about Reb Leuchter. I have the zchus to hear him, but I know we're short on time and everyone's waiting. So, without further ado,
about Reb Leuchter. I think my sweater was too hot, you know. I brought a tie with me, but it's in the bag, okay? I'll do it with that. Oh, it's good. You want me to make like this? Because of the bochum? That's your bochum, but it's better like this.
You can take it off, it's fine.
Yeah, wait a minute. No, that's instead of a tie, you know?
Perfect,
I think so. I want to only try to contemplate one thing which you hear about Chochmah Yevonis, which they are like two concepts which are very difficult to bring them together. The one of Chochmah Yevonis is a thing which I think you are used to, and this is mentioned most of the time. The Chochmah Yevonis is considered the Chochmah which deals with the limitations of nature. Chochmah Yevonis means that you go and learn, I don't know what, whatever you want to learn, the limitations of nature. And we have the Torah Kedosho, which a Torah has an ingredient in it which is just above any limitation. That's what we believe, that the one which deals with the world is not limited from the world, and it's not something which has clear, you know, this limited structure the way they want to make the belief. And we have Torah, and Torah can do things the way we see in the Ness of Hanukkah. We see that when you have oil only for one day, it will go for 8 days. So that is that the Teva is not really constrains the things. Okay, that's what you hear normally. But there's a Rashi and a Maral. The Rashi says it to Megillah, I think so. I forget names, and then you forget the Dapim too, because that's like a name, you know. I just forget. What shall I do? But the Rashi has to be in Megillah somewhere. That the Chochmah Yevonis means like literature. Literature. You may not read Homerus, Odyssey. I don't know whether you learned that, but you know what that is. Perhaps today in American places it's already not known what that means, but that was stories from the ancient times, you know, where you go on the sea and you see all different kind of things and you are having all different kind of temptations and you overcome them, also to read. So what if what does reading a book do to you? Or, okay, first reading a book. What does it do when it's a good one? It's a good book. It's not the book about the neurophysiology. That's the first one. Yeah, but it's a good book about the story. What does the story do to you? It shows you a part of world which that writer constructed in that way that there will be a very edible and well-defined message there. It's not kedai to be cruel, or it doesn't pay off to be dishonest, or it pays off to be kind, or whatever you want, or it's not too good, not so good that you are too much into your desire to be a ruler. That's not good. Whatever. There are all different kinds when you look at the different stories which are told over the time. Everyone has a certain message there which tells you that this is good or this is not good. That's what a good story is. It's not only to make the time pass. That's a very low story, to make the time pass. A good story is something which you take away something, which is a message, which this message teaches you about your midas, about your approach to life. That's what it is. So, why is that also? Or when you want to say in a more poignant way, you know, our good Jewish people were living next to the Western culture hundreds of years. That's right. Is it in Spain? Is it in Italy? Is it in Germany? Is it wherever you want? They were always next to them. And they knew what's going on in the world. They were not close. They were new. They knew. But we don't have really good Jewish literature. It's not there. The whole Medrash, when you have a Medrash, the Medrash says two lines, and then you have to make up the whole story yourself. Eliezer, Meitochazoi. And this word is Meitochazoi, and it's a very poor style of writing. Just tell the whole story, which lied now the brothers of Yosef. You have to make it, you know, that's a real thing, that's a big story. I think, I wasn't so much into reading books, really, that saved me perhaps. But it wasn't, even when I had to read them for the finals, I didn't read them, and that put me into problems. Yeah? So I didn't read the things. But I think Thomas Mann, that's one of the writers in German, he wrote a big book about Yosef and his brothers, which is partly based on Midrashim. You know, it's a two thick volumes. I remember we had that at home. My mother was very much into literature, and I always saw it from the outside. It was too thick. I didn't even take it out of the shelf, you know. But he made from that a real story. Wow! Those were people which interacted, and they said something. But by us, in the Medrash, it is here a line, and there a line, and here some so short thing, and there's that's it. You know, very poor storytelling. Very poor storytelling. Why? Because a storytelling influences you, and Torah wants to build you. That's the difference. Torah wants to build you. Doesn't want to influence. And literature influences you. And that's a big influence. When you come from America, then you know that a big part in the taking out the, I don't know how to say that in English, in America, there are words you may not know, use. Colored people, black people, whatever you want. Now you may say that those which are having look like this one, okay? You say that that can't be also because this one can be all different kind of things. So that's not a real also thing. But to take them out of slavery, a big thing was the book, Uncle Tom. That's a big thing that made a big influence, a big splash in the American society, which that was a big cause of me taking that step to take them out of slavery. When you know the history, that's what it was. Why didn't we do that? It's a big influence. We do not want to influence people. We want to build them. What's the difference? And now see. The difference is like this. You have in the Western civilization, or in this Chochmah Yevamis, you have very big and nice concepts. But in the end, they are limited. In the end, the concepts are limited. As big as they are, there are some concepts which are limited. You can have the biggest jail in the world. When you hit the wall, it is as big as your small little unit where you can't move, because the walls don't move. You know, they have very big concepts, but they are all limited. That is called influencing people. You have to be truthful. You have to be reliable. You have to strive for something. You have to all these concepts which are there in this civilization, which are given over with stories. Those are big concepts, but they are limited. We want, and that's the connection. We want something non-limited. How does it possible? How is it possible? What means non-limited? That I am, you know, I can go strive for the heaven or whatever. The heaven is the limit or whatever. That's a hals, that's a gulmish, that's a klublo. Those are words. It's even not words, that's a stump. What does that mean, you know? No. What means you are above limits? What does that mean? Now look what it means. Torah Kedosha gives you an idea what could be in your own life. an idea. I'll give an example soon. I give you an idea what could be. And now this idea, you have to learn it from Torah, but also you have to make that interact with the world. And through the interaction with the world, this concept begins to be a little bit different than what you thought. And it's changing a little bit. It's like a seed. When you want to make a seed grow, the seed has to break through its limits. It's called, it rots. It doesn't really rot in the earth. When you have a seed in the nicest bowl out of gold, and you put it in, it doesn't grow. You have to put it into the earth. But you put it into earth, it gets dissolved. But it gets dissolved in the way that afterwards it will grow unbelievable into a tree. But it has to first get dissolved. Why does it get dissolved? Because it has to interact with the nutrition outside of it. Yeah? Otherwise it can't. The same thing is with the seed of Torah you have. You have to interact with your environment and see how is that really understood. And then you see the concept is not as limited or as simple as I thought. It's different. And then you go back to Torah and look, so what Torah says about that new thing. And then you interact back with the world. And you interact back with the Torah. And that's the way you grow. And that's why the concepts in our Torah are mentioned in a very short way. They don't want to give you the whole thing, because that doesn't make you grow. Perhaps that would influence you, that you want to live up to this unbelievable ideal. And the ideals by the Goyim are much nicer than ours. The Goan says it, I think. The God says the ideas by the Goyim sound much nicer than ours. Unbelievable. But they don't do anything. They don't make you grow. They are limited. They have very big limits, but they are limited. We want to break through the limits. But you don't want to break through the limits to reach heaven. That's demyonis. That's dumb. Those are words. I don't want to reach. No, I want to break through the limitations of what is dear by me. But it's more than I thought. It's different than I thought. That is what Torah wants in order for you to grow. I'll give you an example that happened to me last week. You know, once in a while when you are a grandfather, and I was revealing myself, I live in Tellstone in a very nice home. And we have one first flat, and then the first, second one there you have a few bedrooms, and also my office and a few bedrooms, and then you have a third one where you have a big porch and underneath the roof. Mamas, we found out for two people that's exactly the right size in the Sega. Exactly, you know? You can be downstairs and you can be upstairs and the middle and there. For two people that fits snugly, you know? It's mamas the right size. But now you take in the family of your son. And the family of your son, you know, I don't know whether you know me, but I don't really know. I don't understand why my grandchildren are so energetic, but they have it from somewhere, I don't know from where, but they are very energetic, and they come, and the oldest is 9, and the youngest is young, you know, 1, and they, you know, things are flying around, and things are, you know, just going to break, and you know how that works. So I said, okay, I have to have savlonis. What means savlonis? Patience. You know, I have to be patient with them. You know, I'll go. I don't say anything. I know that I have to be patient with them. I am soible. My grandchildren, those are mine. You know, oh Hashem, naches, and naches. You know, that's what it was. You know, very nice. Pastor Hoshiva knows that too. The way it goes. You know, that's right. So that's the way it goes. So it's good. Fine. So I will be have savlonis. Do you know what savlonis means? For sure. I have to have savlonis with my boss. I have to have savlonis with my neighbor. I have to have savlonis with the weather once in a while. You know, now I like it more. I'm Swiss. I like it more when it's a little bit cold. But when it gets, you know, it gets about 30 centigrades, then my brain goes off, you know, and then I have to be sure of that. Hashem sends that, what shall I do? That's it. I have to be sure of that. I know what that means. Now I sit there, and now I interact with the world. I do interact with the world, and I look at my grandchildren, and now I'm sure of them, and now I see I turn over into a very bad grandfather. Very bad. You know, I just, you know, okay, I partly, I don't really relate to you. Okay, do whatever you want, I let you do, fine. You know, Shabbos will be over in 3 hours. Oh, yeah, okay, well, I'm disabled then. 2 hours, 2.5 hours, it's okay, you know. I'll be disabled then. That's not the grandfather. That's gurnished. So, wrong. So now my concept of Sablonis, which was very clear, with the interaction, the world doesn't work. Now I have to go back and think. What means Sablonis? What does it mean? And then I see Sablonis is the opposite of being in rage. And when I look through the Torah, then I see in being in rage means that I react to that something goes against my will. That's what the Rishonim say, that Kas means that you react on something which goes against your will. I want to do it. I want to have it a certain way. I want to have my home is my castle. I want to have quiet at home. And it's not the way I want. So then I get worked up. Yeah? So what do I have to be soibel? I have to be soibel my rotzen. I don't have to be soibel my boss. Wrong. I have to be soibel my own rotzen. My own wanting that my home should be such a nice place, not so important. My own wanting that my boss shouldn't micromanage me, not so important. My own wanting that now it should be a good, nice and cold weather, it is not so important. No, I have to be soevil my rots. I don't have to be soevil the guy. I have to be soevil myself. That's what I have to do. People then, wow, that's a big chiddush. It's only a chiddush because you only function out of the book. But then you interact with the world and you have a nutrition exchanged with the world, then you see it in a very simple, straightforward way. That Sablonis means that no, it doesn't mean you have to be soevil the guy because he didn't sign with you any contract that he should be nice. No, you have to be soevil yourself. Your own rots, you have to be soevil. I have to be soevil my own rots. And you go, and you are soevil your own rots. And then you see, wow, that enables me to experience the people in an entirely different way. Because now I can experience that the other one has his own world. Because it's not only, okay, I suffered that, okay, it will be over in another two hours, 3 hours. No. I am not emphasizing my own rotzen, and then I see the other one has a very interesting world. It's an unbelievable, interesting person. He has something to offer, not my cup of tea. But my cup of tea is not important, because I am soevil him. Yeah? That's like 180 degrees against what you think. Because you think, no, tolerance means that my cup of tea is the uppermost importance in the world, but you can't always push through your own agenda. So you have to just keep quiet and wait till that thing is over, and then it will be nice and good and calm, and you made a Shabbos, which was no big explosion happening there. Bo Hashem. That's called the grandfather. That's called a Efes Me'upas, you know, a gurnished. No, that's not. But it was a question of how do you define the thing, which is very clear. It's a very clear thing. You have to have Sablonis. I agree. But you don't know what Sablonis means. So look it up in the books. It doesn't help you. You have to first interact with the world and be open to that and see that creates a problem. And it doesn't really do what I want it to do. And then I go back, and then I go back, and now it's also not the end of the world, you know? That's only another thing, which now you have to interact further, and then you'll see further how this thing develops. And that's the way the seed is growing. The seed grows through the nutrition which he gets from the environment, together with that he stays strong with himself. Because the seed stays a seed of an avocado tree or whatever it is, you know. That is, the seed stays a seed, but it dissolves a little bit, and then it will get out to the growth. That's what Taylor wants. And now you see, this is very connected to that concept that we want to be above limits. But we don't want to be above limits only, that is Biltig Wool and like a philosophical concept of that there is something which is above all limits which enters the world, which that's for sure true. But it's not only that. It's in your limited world, you are without limits. In your limited world, you always break through the limits. Because it's always not the way you thought beforehand. It's always different. And that's why we do not have literature. We do not. You know, because literature gives you these concepts and these messages which are limited. And we want to create the messages on our own. With our internalizing what the Torah says, but we for sure internalize that the wrong way. For sure. Always. And for example, I had it with the Srisus in the Mesillas Yoram too, you know. Srisus means, what means? How do you translate Srisus? What?
Alacrity.
What was Mentos? I don't know what that means. Srisus was going quick, doing things quick. No, it can't be. Can't be. It can't be, because you say the kleonim of Zrizim, that's why you don't have to have shvus. But when you do things quickly, you have to be more careful. Zriz doesn't mean, no? Zriz means efficiency. Now, Zriz means efficiency, ganz gut. Einfall, ja? Ganz einfall. But it's not yet finished, because then you see efficiency, what does that mean? And then you see, Zriz means never ending the movement you are in. You don't hold off. You always move, but you can move very slowly. You don't have to move quickly, only don't cease to move. That's what Jesus means. That took me an enormous amount of energy to find it out. But I found it out not because the Mesillas Yoram says it. It doesn't say it. But the life taught me that, together with the Srisus of the Mesillas Yoram, you know, it was like a fight. But the life is important, the same way that the seed, it's important, the earth, which is so much full with dirt, it's important, which is next to the seed. And you have to give up a little bit the limitations, in order to get in and get out this nutrition, and then it will grow. It's with every concept in Torah is like that. So that's why, that's how Torah wants to build us. So Torah doesn't want to influence a person, doesn't. Torah wants to make a person grow. With all these things in Torah, when you take it in and you are experiencing them and making them work in your world, that's the way that Torah will make you grow. And make you grow above limits which were there beforehand. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Okay, now you see that the Chochmah Yevonis is really different. We are today in a world which is influenced by the most hilarious things you could imagine. Yeah? The most hilarious things. We are influenced by things which no normal person wants to be influenced by. Yeah? That's the truth. Yeah? That's what it is. I don't want to go into that, but that's what the truth is. The world is influenced by things. It's indescribable what you are influenced from, and you don't even get it, you don't even feel it. We don't want that. No, I don't want to be influenced. I want to be in charge of my own life. Oh, I decide myself. No, I have Torah. Ah, you have to follow the rules. And then people think Torah is like this, you know, and then you are really small. No, Torah enables me to grow, because Torah is seeds. These Targat mitzvahs are like, the Gaon says, it's like Tariq klolim. It's like seeds which will grow. And every mitzvah is a seed which will grow indefinitely. When I deal with it, and I listen to it, and I listen to the life which is connected to it, and then it will grow above all limits. That's what Torah wants. Not being influenced, only being in charge of yourself, together with these mitzvahs, and that's the way you can grow. So that's what I want to tell you before Hanukkah. Hopefully that was interesting for you. I think I'm 5 minutes over time.